Before we get started with this episode, I wanted to let you know that May is Mental Health Awareness Month. In honor of this, I'm making my signature course, Resiliency Sprint, 50% off just for podcast listeners. You also get lifetime access to CBT Family Toolbox, over 100 activities, resources, and ideas to bring cognitive behavioral tools to your family. Head to childanxietysupport.com/resiliencysprint to learn all about this foundational course. And when you sign up, use code PODCAST to get 50% off both the coached and uncoached versions. This offer is only good till May 31st, so make sure you sign up now. Hi, everyone, and welcome to the Child Anxiety Fact Podcast. My name is Dawn Friedman, and I'm the owner of Child Anxiety Support, a membership for parents of anxious kids. I have my master's in clinical counseling and additional postgraduate training in child anxiety disorders, including exposure and response prevention and the Supportive Parenting for Anxious Childhood Emotions Program, or SPACE program, which was designed by Dr. Ellie Lebowitz of the Yale Child Study Center. I'm also certified in infant toddler mental health. FAQ stands for Frequently Asked Questions, and each week I'll be answering your questions about childhood and teen anxiety. Let's get started. Hi, everyone, and welcome back to the Child Anxiety FAQ. This week's episode answers the question, does reassuring my anxious child help? And the answer to that is no, not in the long term and rarely in the short term. But this was actually a longer question, so I'm going to share the whole version now and, of course, the much longer answer, too. Here we go. My son has severe anxiety that manifests in needing constant reassurance that his every ache or stitch is not life-threatening. My question is, am I making it worse by reassuring him, or would it be better to not feed into the OCD-ness of his questions? First of all, let me say my heart goes out to you and your son because I know how challenging and heartbreaking and frustrating this can be. Thank you for asking the question, and I hope my answer will be helpful. Reassurance is a great example of how parenting an anxious child is different than parenting a child who is not prone to anxiety. In a non-anxious child, or rather a child who has a typical level of anxiety, reassurance can help. They come to us and say, my leg hurts, do you think I'm okay? And we can answer, yeah, that sounds like growing pains. And they'll feel reassured and be able to move on. End of story. But a child who has more functional impairment, which is to say, whose anxiety gets in the way of their ability to do things, they'll get stuck. That reassurance only helps for a minute, but then the anxiety comes back. The distressed feeling continues, and so they return for that quick hit of relief that your reassurance offers. That's because the issue is not the aching leg, it's the anxiety itself. One of the things we know about anxious people is that they have an information processing bias, which means that anxious people are more likely to see danger in otherwise neutral situations. This can be a very useful trait under some circumstances. If you're going on a long camping trip, for example, the person with some anxiety is more likely to pack bug repellent, to check that the tent is still waterproof, and to remember to charge the GPS tracker. Being able to scan for potential dangers or roadblocks or problems helps us prepare for them, and that's great. When the anxiety causes functional interference, that is to say, maybe it stops us from going camping altogether, that's a sign that the issue is not the camping trip, it's the anxiety itself. That anxious person avoiding the camping trip hasn't learned to tolerate the discomfort of not being able to control what might happen. We can pack the bug repellent, we can check that the tent is waterproof, we can charge the GPS tracker, but we can't control every little thing that might go wrong. We need to live with a certain level of unknowingness. We have to give up on being able to control and address every possible outcome. What we're really talking about here is an existential crisis. How do we tolerate the big, endless not knowing of being alive? How do we learn to exist in a world where bad things happen and might happen to us? I'm going to share my own experience as a brand new parent, and I'm sure that lots of you will be able to relate. When my son was born, I struggled with postpartum anxiety as many, many of us do. I felt undone and overwhelmed by the fact that I was now responsible for this very tiny, very precious being. I had intrusive thoughts, those uninvited, unwelcome thoughts, of harm coming to him. I couldn't walk into a room without seeing all the potential dangers. I felt like one giant exposed nerve. Eventually, I learned to live with this reality that I had to cede some level of control to the universe. And some of that learning to live had to do with denial. I learned not to think on the ways my child might get hurt all the time. I learned to let those intrusive thoughts pass without comment or reaction. I learned to ignore the things I couldn't control. And as he grew, I learned and relearned to tolerate the discomfort of watching him step out beyond my supervision and care. Sometimes this meant literally covering my eyes, like at the playground when he would attempt some death-defying trick. Now I tell you, this kid is now 25, lives in another state where I can't keep an eye on him, and his hobby is rock climbing. I still nag him about wearing his helmet, but most of the time I just pretend he's not hanging off of cliffs every weekend, because that's what it takes to live my life and to let him live his. Because I have my own struggles with anxiety, these were skills I needed to learn over and over again in new contexts for myself as a parent, and for my children. But as I learned them in one area of my life, I was able to apply those learnings to others. And that is the work that anyone who struggles with anxiety must do. The anxious child or teen or young adult who continues to depend on our reassurances is avoiding that existential task of tolerating the unknown. They ask you to tell them that their hurting leg is okay, and you do, but the question is a cover-up for a larger crisis of not knowing. To get deep, and anxiety requires deep work, they are really asking, how can I avoid death? How do I live in a world where death and pain and sorrow are unavoidable? This sounds overdramatic, but ultimately an anxiety disorder is learning to live with the reality of death and pain and sorrow. No wonder it's so difficult, right? When we see this big picture, perhaps it will give us permission to stop trying to fix things in the moment. Now, I'm not saying to sit your child down and tell them it's time to face their own mortality. No way, of course not. But we as parents, when we see this big picture struggle, then we are better able to meet the challenges in the moment. We learn to accept that we can't reassure them out of this. What we are meant to do is help them build their tolerance. Life is uncomfortable because it's unpredictable and ultimately out of our control. And yet, we must learn to live with that and to be happy in spite of it. So what do we do instead of reassuring? We reassure once. It sounds like growing pains. And then we stop. We tell them, I've answered that question and I'm not going to anymore. We say it with empathy and compassion, and then we hold to it. That's it. They may beg and plead, but remember, you answered the question, and it's not the answer that will fix the anxiety anyway. The child needs to tolerate their distress, which will eventually feel less distressing. They will either acclimate to the feeling of not being sure, or it will pass. The more we've reassured our child, the harder it will be for them to tolerate our unwillingness to answer, and this will be hard for us too. But I want you to think about how you and your child right now are having the same experience. They're yearning for you to answer, and you are yearning for their calm. Both of you are struggling, but both of you can manage this distress. You can manage yours by recognizing it as your own. You are catching your child's urgency for sure, but your feelings belong to you. I know it seems like your child is causing your discomfort, but it's more complicated than that. Your feelings are yours, they are your responsibility, and you will need to learn how to manage them. That may be taking your own deep breaths. It may be removing yourself so you can step out of their anxiety loop, because again, anxiety is catching. It might be using self-talk, telling yourself it's okay and that your child will be okay. As anxiety is catching, so is calm. As you bring more calm to the family and to the interaction, you're helping. You're setting an example. You are showing them that it's possible to tolerate what feels intolerable. The work of raising and loving an anxious child is ultimately self-work. But then, isn't that the thing about parenting? As I always say, nothing is more triggering than being a parent. But in the context of parenting, we have such opportunity to heal ourselves.
Thank you so much for tuning in this week. If you have a question you would like me to answer on the show, please go to childanxietysupport.com/FAQ. And if you'd like to learn more about the Child Anxiety Support membership, please go to childanxietysupport.com. The membership offers courses, live events, and community to help you design a personalized program to free your family from the trap of child anxiety. I hope you'll consider subscribing to the podcast and sharing it with any friends or family who you think might find it helpful. You can get more of my child anxiety content over at Instagram, where I'm Dawn Friedman, MSED, or on Facebook at the Child Anxiety Support page. Thanks again, and have a great week.